I'm Bob McDonald, and you're listening to Quirks and Quarks, the national science program, heard every Saturday afternoon and Monday evening across Canada on CBC Radio 1. We're live on the internet at cbc.ca, across North America on Sirius Satellite Radio 137, and on various public radio stations throughout the U.S. Coming up next, Little Elephantville. In most big cities, you'll find a Chinatown, a Little Italy, or perhaps Little India. Neighborhoods where new immigrants can find the food they're used to eating and people who speak their language and share their culture. These ethnic enclaves can be very comforting to new arrivals and provide great benefits. But on the other hand, they can slow down the assimilation of new immigrants into the wider society of their new country. Dr. Noah Pinter-Woolman wanted to know if elephants face the same choices as humans do when they emigrate to a new home, and surprisingly, they do. Dr. Pinter-Woolman did her research with the Animal Behavior Graduate Group at the University of California, Davis. Hi, welcome to Quirks and Quarks.
Hi, Bob. Thank you very much for having me.
Where were these elephants that you were studying?
They were in Kenya. They were moved from a very small national reserve on the coast of Kenya to a much larger national park, Tsavo East, that's about 160 kilometers from Shimba Hills. And the Kenya Wildlife Service moved about 150 elephants over a period of about a month.
Why were the elephants moved in the first place?
In Kenya and in other places in Africa, wildlife is running out of space. Human population is growing. Elephants go into crops of people and eat their mangoes and bananas. Sometimes they even go into villages and could potentially kill people. So moving elephants from where they're causing problems to a place where potentially they would not cause problems is a much more humane solution than killing these elephants.
Now the new area that they're going into, does that area have elephants in it?
Yeah, Tsavo National Park has a huge elephant population of 6,000. So the 150 elephants that were moved from Shimba Hills were, you know, a drop in the sea for such a huge park.
Now when they're looking at a group of elephants like this and they want to move some of them, how do they go about choosing which ones they're going to move?
Yeah, so the managers try to target actual intact groups. They live in matriarchal groups where there's a mother and then her offspring and sometimes her sisters. And what managers try to do is target the entire group and move them as an intact social unit. And then what I was looking at is a bit of a different social level with elephants where these family groups occasionally interact with one another. So you have these two families and they'll come and meet occasionally and hang out together for a while. And I was interested in which groups would the translocated elephants hang out with once they arrive at a new place.
Now, what reasons would these elephants have for choosing to either keep associating with those elephants they know from the old place or the ones that are in their new home?
You would have a lot of benefits to hang out with ones that you're familiar with because maybe they're more friendly, the new ones might be aggressive to you, but when you arrive to a new place, potentially you might have more benefits from interacting with the local population. So the local residents know a lot about this new place.
Because the locals know where the good restaurants are.
Exactly. Okay. They know where to get everything. They know where the shops are, where you can get a new car and all that. So
you've got this group of elephants that was transported. They're family groups plus families that know other families. They're in this new park, big park. How did you go about studying how they interacted both with each other and with the locals?
While they were being moved, during that time, we were able to tag them. So we put radio collars on 12 of the 150 elephants, and then we also painted big white numbers on their backs. And with elephants, you can also identify them individually using their ear patterns and tusk shapes, so that was also useful. So then once they were moved to the new park, I was surveying the park on basically a daily basis. I was able to gain access to the light aircraft in Tsavo East, and then we would see them from the air. But after I saw their general location, I would go back into my car and then drive around the park to that location, note down all the elephants I would see on the way, whether they were translocated or local. If they were translocated, who were they?
So what did you find? How did the elephants behave?
What I found was that the translocated elephants associated much more with other translocated families and much less with locals. So that was a bit surprising because of those benefits I thought they would gain from interacting with the local residents. But over time, I followed these elephants for a year. And at the end of that year, they were much more integrated. So when you look at the last season I spent there, you could see a lot more interactions between the translocated elephants and the local residents.
So they did form the equivalent of a Chinatown where they stayed
yes.
in their own group.
Yeah. So at first they definitely stayed with their own kind and formed this kind of immigrant enclave, and which I found was very interesting.
What does this tell you then about, elephant societies and how different groups interact with each other?
We already know that elephants form these larger bond groups on occasion. The fact that the elephants ended up integrating into this resident population says that eventually they were able to maybe pass these barriers that at first they had and start to kind of become part of the dominance hierarchy of the local population. But the fact that, but at first it took them some time, and it might say that, you know, there's potentially some traditions that you come in with. And if you're more familiar with your dominance hierarchy from where you came from, you might be more comfortable with being around those who you're familiar with, where your status is.
Well, anyone who travels a lot will tell you the same thing. You know, you tend to meet your fellow tourists first, but then you want to know what the local knowledge is, and you're more comfortable after a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Dr. Pinter-Wolman, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Dr. Noah Pinter-Wolman recently finished her PhD with the Animal Behavior Graduate Group at the University of California at Davis. Coming up, sucking up CO2.